Do you want to know what it takes to work as a high-performing executive assistant? You'll find out when you listen to the EA Campus podcast. Join me, Nikki Christmas, the founder of Practically Perfect PA and the EA Campus, for a weekly interview with successful assistants who all have first-hand experience and lessons to share on what it takes to excel in the role. Tune in, get inspired, and learn how to create an assistant career where you are valued, motivated, and ready to face every challenge head on. Whether you are an assistant just starting in your career or prepared to move to the next level, building a successful assistant career just got a little easier with the EA Campus podcast. Hi there, everyone, and welcome to the next episode of the EA Campus podcast. Today we have Jamelia Benomar with us, and I'm so excited to get stuck into a conversation which I know is going to be really interesting because, Jamelia, you've done so much. So welcome. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you for having me today.
Why don't we start at the beginning? Why don't you tell us a little bit about your career to date and what you did as an assistant and now as a virtual assistant?
I've been an executive assistant for over 10 years now. So just to give you a little bit of a background, I started my career, let's say, in sales. So I was a sales assistant, then a closing store manager. And then I wanted something like a bit more, I would say, and because I'm very organized, I always wanted and have been drawn to being an executive assistant. I went into this career. And so I have mainly worked into the transport industry, airline industry and train companies. I started working with general manager and as a team assistant, and I've made my way up to a supporting C-suite level at my last, if I may say, corporate role. And then 2020 happened. As many people, my role was made redundant. And this is when I started working as a virtual assistant. So what happened is I've done it the other way around. So I was looking actually for a role and I found my first client. And I thought, oh, why not just go ahead and just try this virtual assistant role? And this is how I got into it. And since then, I've been doing this for 2 years and I'm really loving it.
Oh, that sounds fantastic. So it's worth saying that you were at Air France for a long time, and then so many people working in the tourist industry and flights and travel, that was difficult during the pandemic. So since then, you've started, as you said, a sort of virtual assistant business. So how have you found that? You're saying you're loving it, but how has the transition been from working as a corporate assistant to effectively running your own business?
Yeah, it was very different. So obviously, as an executive assistant, you always need to be hands-on and being proactive, obviously, with your directors, but as well as being organized. As a virtual assistant, you have the business owner hats on top of everything else. So learning everything from scratch, being like learning how to market your business, how to deal with clients. So you need to wear so many tabs on top of really serving your and supporting your clients and directors. So I work with entrepreneurs, solo entrepreneurs as well, just to mention, but as well with companies, a small team of companies. So learning everything, I had to learn on the job, I have to say. I'm really enjoying it because I'm learning every day. It's been 2 years now. So I have to say my business has shifted and changed like compared to 2 years ago. Coming from the EA world, you're always learning anyways, and you are a project manager at the same time as well. So I have to say I was equipped to become a virtual assistant.
So the clients that you serve at the moment, what are the main aspects of the role that you do now and the different clients that you have?
So I do mainly diary management, inbox management, project management. I am a PRINCE2 certified project manager as well. So I love everything, all things about projects. running projects. And I would say I'm niching more and more into tech. So I help my clients with tech setups. So that would be, for example, their landing pages, their website, and everything at the back end of their, for example, if they have a membership, I would be, for example, liaising with their customers, but as well as helping them with their everything about managing their membership, for example.
Yeah, it's a big job, isn't it? And there are so many entrepreneurs and small businesses now that need that tech support rather than having necessarily an IT department or a web developer. And it's something that virtual assistants find themselves getting into a lot more. But it's good that's an area that you feel like you can niche down. Like mm-hmm. you said as well, the fact that your business has changed over the 2 years since you set it up, I think that's something that's really interesting for assistants that maybe are looking to move into a VA position, because it doesn't have to be what it was when you originally set it up. You can learn and develop, which I think is really encouraging that you mm-hmm. can make those changes.
Yes, I think once you are in the virtual, let's say, assistant world, then you get to do different tasks and you learn different other tasks as well that you might have not been doing into the corporate world, if I may say that, because I've learned so much as well from the corporate world, but it's very different industry. And obviously when you start your business, it changes and evolves all the time, and you get to learn new skills, and maybe you love what you learned, and then you just want to for example, just offer the services rather than, for example, diary management. Personally, I love diary management. I love organizing my directors. And so this is one aspect I want to keep in my business. But obviously, if you love one task rather than the other, for me, it was a no-brainer. So I would rather offer services I love enjoying and I love doing.
Yeah, that makes so much sense. I want to touch on as well what you said there about project management and having the PRINCE2 qualification. I know for assistants, project management seems like such a natural progression from the assistant role. So I just wonder how having the qualification has helped you move into doing more project management.
Actually, in my previous jobs, I was involved in so many different projects, and I was involved in two relocation. In one, I was the project manager. So for me, as you said, it was a natural, let's say, flow of things and progress. So I wanted actually before the virtual assistant role just to go into project management because I really love it. And as executive assistant or virtual assistant, you manage a lot of projects. It doesn't seem maybe like really heavy projects, but you do. And I've always wanted to go to be certified and to go down this road. So I think it was just before the COVID. So in 2020, I think it was February or January when I got my certification. So I had 1 week training, very heavy training for a week. But I was really proud of myself once I got the certification. And I think it's good to learn how to really manage properly projects. Obviously, we've got some, let's say, skills and knowledge, but having a proper structure and a proper guideline, I think it makes everything much more different and smoother.
Yeah, and I think it probably gives you confidence as well to go in managing projects, knowing you've got that education piece behind mm-hmm. you. And mm-hmm. like you said, you've learned how to properly structure a project so that you can run it confidently from beginning through to end.
Yeah, it does. Once you have the knowledge, you know how to obviously manage a project, but you have as well this aspect of managing a team, which is very different. So having a certification gives you all the keys and the guidelines on how to do it effectively, properly, but obviously managing all the expectation from the team, from the stakeholders, the project owner. So you've got all this jargon as well that you get used to it. And obviously it gives you more skills and confidence, as you said.
Absolutely. I want to dive into your assistant career and talk a little bit more about working as a virtual assistant. But before we do all of that, I'd like to get a sense of what life is like for you outside of the role as well. So we always start in the morning, and I wonder mm-hmm. how you go about preparing yourself for your day.
So usually I always prepare my day before. So I always plan my day the evening before. So just to map out my day, who I'm working with, what are my tasks. And then in the morning, I'm an early bird. So I usually wake up early, maybe around 6 o'clock. For me, it's early. So I know maybe early, but for some might be 5 a.m. But
six is good. Six is early.
Yeah, usually I would wake up at 6 o'clock, obviously have a shower, coffee, and I love going for a walk. We've got so many lovely parks in London. So I would go have a park down the road, just go there, have a walk and come back at home, because working from home can be a bit isolating. So for me, having this connection with the outside world, even though it's a very busy area, London, I like having this connection of the outside world and then come back home and have a look at my diary, have a look at my different directors or clients' diary, and then get stuck into what I need to be doing.
And then for you now, I know I ask this of assistants, and it's always a difficult question around what an average day looks like. I feel like for virtual assistants, because you have that little bit more control over your day, it's less hectic and varied, but I might be wrong. What does an average day look like for you now?
So actually, it's pretty much the same as being an executive assistant, I have to say, because you need to juggle with so many different priorities. And on top of that, different clients from different industries. So you need to pick up the different tasks and being able to bounce back on any requests you've got. And yeah, juggling different diaries, management. And when you need to switch from one client to the other, make sure that you bear in mind their priorities, what their priorities for the week or for the day, and make sure that everything goes smoothly.
And how has it been transitioning for you into from a corporate assistant and being surrounded by other people and having that fast-paced environment of the office into working as a VA? How have you found that?
In the beginning, it was a bit challenging, I have to say. I'm a people person. I love being in contact with people. That's why the executive assistant role was really a good fit for me, because as an executive assistant, you are the linchpin of the company and you get to liaise with so many different stakeholders, with everyone pretty much in the company and outside the company. So you really are the figure, you really are the interface of the company. So working from home for me in the beginning was a bit challenging, because I found myself to be by myself, obviously, alone, and no colleagues or anyone to talk to. So yeah, I just get used to it, I have to say. But now, as I'm growing with the role and with my business, I get to know people. I try to have virtual coffee catch up with other virtual assistants or with the clients or the team I'm working with. So it's a bit better. But I have to say, there was this kind of transition period where you need to kind of adapt yourself.
So it's good that you're intentional about how you're networking and meeting up with other virtual assistants, and that makes a big difference.
Yeah, it does. We are social creatures, so we need this contact with others, and it's good to be networking with others or even have connection. You learn from people, I share best practices with other VA, which is good, and just sometimes you just need a space, a safe space to vent from time to time.
It's very true. That's any walk of life. That's very true. So what would you say is the most challenging aspect of your day?
So I would say towards the end of the day, because sometimes you have a last minute urgent inquiries. So being able to juggle all these different urgent inquiries for me is sometimes a bit challenging and could be a bit stressful. Obviously, we are here to organize our directors and day and travel. Obviously, some of them are not really organized and really send some like last minute requests. I had it as well in the corporate world. So this is something we are used to it. But this is for me really challenging, because you need to wrap up everything and make sure they've got all the documentations. Sometimes as well, my directors are not always connected, so it can be a bit difficult to communicate with them, especially when it's the end of the day. So for me, I would be saying really end of the day when I have like really last minute urgent requests.
It's probably because you're an early bird, which I am as well. So I wonder if this is similar for you. But at the end of the day, that's when you're coming down off the top of your productivity. So for a lot of people, that's when they're building up to it. So it's finding that balance between when you're at your most active and they are. And I can imagine that can be challenging.
Yes, I totally agree. I really work well in the morning, early morning until midday. I really love it. I'm very focused. And I know this is for me my prime time. But as you said, when I come to work, when it comes towards the end of the day, I want to wind down and really take it slowly and easy.
Yeah. So what's the most enjoyable part of your day?
My most enjoyable part of my day is really sitting with my clients and directors, having meetings with them, looking at their priorities, exchanging with them. So I would say this is really my favorite part of my day, really interacting, engaging with my clients and with other stakeholders.
Yeah, that's something that I think when it doesn't really matter where you're doing that as a VA or an EA or a PA, I think that's such a crucial part of the role, is having those relationships and enjoying supporting someone. So it's nice that there's a follow through there from every aspect of your career. Mm-hmm. It's nice.
Yes. Yeah. Relationships are very, very important, especially as an executive assistant. Mm-hmm. It takes time for your director to trust you, and it takes time to build relationships with others. And it could be as well with our peers as well. So maintaining this relationship, this trust is very important. And for me, this is something like on top of my list, and I love engaging with people. So I think it's very important and crucial in our roles.
Yeah. I'd like to take a minute to talk about your career in Air France, because you were there for a while and you had a few different jobs, and looking at your CV, it looks like you were promoted a little bit through different executives. Mm-hmm. I wonder what that experience was like, and if you could give some advice to assistants that maybe work for a large organization, how they go about moving up and trying different things.
Mm-hmm, yeah. So actually, I started as an intern at Air France. Yeah. I worked in the office in Geneva, because I'm from France, and where I'm from France is just at the border with Switzerland. So it's quite easy to commit there. So I've worked there 2 years. Then I left. I've worked in the sales industry, and then I moved to London in the UK, and I found another role at Air France, where I made my way up as well, again, because I started from as a customer care officer, and then made my way up to being the assistant to the general manager. I would say being very listening to what are your director's needs. I would say being willing to learn, being eager to learn, being motivated, and being a self-starter. This would be my recommendations and my advice. It's very important as an executive assistant to be motivated and as well as proactive. So really showing that you embody the company's value, that you really enjoy working there, which was the case for me personally at Air France. I really enjoyed my time there. And it was one of the best companies I've worked for, I have to say. But yeah, really being motivated, I would say for me, this is the most important piece of advice. But as well, not being afraid to take risks. Just go for it. If there is something you want to go and try, even though you don't have the whole skill set, it doesn't matter. Just go for it. And yeah, you have to take risks in life. And if you don't do it, it's better to have tried it rather than live with regrets.
Oh, I 100% agree. And I think for assistants that work in organizations as big as a company, say like Air France, it's even more important, because it can be easy to get lost in such big organizations. So yeah, I completely agree with that advice. I think that's really helpful for people listening today. So thank you for sharing that. I'd quickly like to ask as well, because I think, again, it's a really incredible skill for anybody to have. But I think for assistants, being bilingual really helps as well. It opens up a huge amount of job opportunities. So I just wonder how that's helped you.
It has helped me actually to land jobs, I have to say, especially in London, being like a multicultural city, but even as well in Geneva, for example, in Switzerland. I landed this role at Air France because I had English. Obviously, back there, back at the time, like I'm talking about like maybe 15 years ago, not everybody was bilingual, even like talking, like speaking English, to where people now are very connected to the outside world and the languages. But I think it's very good and it's like a plus if you've got different languages and especially well sought after languages like French or English or Spanish. Mm-hmm. And for me, I have to say it really helped me to get some jobs.
Yeah, I think it's something that's obviously becoming a lot more popular for assistants as well, just with the world being so interconnected as it is. I think for anybody who's listening who has an additional skill, just like around a language, shout it from the rooftops because it's so helpful. Yeah, completely agree. You've been doing the job for a while. I wonder what some of your career highlights might be.
Oh, I've got plenty of them, I have to say. But I'm an organizer at heart, definitely, and I love organizing events. It was one aspect of the executive assistant role I really loved, organizing events. And one of my highlights was when I organized a huge event where we welcomed the top directors worldwide, like 50 top directors in London over 3 days, where I had to organize from scratch everything, their schedule, their flights, and making it personal and a first class experience for them, booking speakers. So this was really one of the highlights of my career. I really loved it. I had so many nice feedback, and I think this is why I live for, I would say, is having those really nice feedback when you organize any events or anything. It's always nice and lovely to get really nice comments. So I would say this was one of my highlights, but as well being giving more responsibilities across my career, having my directors trust me, working with inspirational directors. This is one of my highlights as well. All the directors I worked for, they all taught me something about me and something about in my career, and they were all different, very demanding, but all different personality, and being able to work with so many inspirational and ambitious and bold directors for me is one of the highlights.
And how did you go about building relationships with your executives? Is there any one particular tactic or strategy you implemented to build those relationships?
I would say I like having a weekly catch up with my, I think this is very key from the beginning to get to know your director. Obviously, in the beginning, you don't have this relationship, so it takes time, but meeting them regularly, talking to them, asking them about their personal life, if they want to obviously share anything, but bearing in mind what's happening as well in their personal life, if they want to share it, if they have children, remembering their children's names. This is like kind of small details, very important details that makes a difference. But as well, if you say you will, let's say, finish a task by a given day, just do it. But if you can't do it, obviously communicate. As I think as well, communication is very key. Obviously keep promises, but being realistic as well with your role and your what you are able to do at a given time, let's say. And if you are unable or if you encounter any issues, I think communication is key and everybody is understanding. We are human beings at the end of the day. We are here to support them, but we are partners, obviously. It's like a couple, I would say, but a business couple. And obviously you are working with this person like for so long, at some point the relationship, the trust comes, but it takes obviously some time.
Yeah, it's the most important thing, isn't it? And as you said, it's building that trust and taking the time to build it. Don't rush it because it does take time. But once you're there, what a difference that makes. Yeah. It makes your job so much easier.
It does. And you feel it when your director trusts you. You have this kind of like shift, let's say, and then it makes your life as well easier. But obviously you have this period. So it could be 2 months, 1 month. It depends on people as well and on their personal story, I'm guessing, as well, and their past experiences. But obviously being consistent with your work, with the communication, and yeah, everything should be smoother.
Yeah. So you worked as a corporate executive assistant for a while, and now you're working as a virtual assistant. So you've got a real broad experience of the different types of things that you can do as an assistant. So I wonder if there's different points in your career where you push the boundaries of what an assistant can do, or maybe some of the stereotypes that still exist in the role. I just wondered if you could offer any advice to our listeners around that topic, if there's anywhere in your career where you push the boundaries.
When you say push the boundaries, is it like going extra mile? Is that what you mean?
Yeah, or just more around some of the stereotypes of the role, if you ever encountered that. If you didn't, brilliant. If you did, I'm assuming you probably did.
of course I did, yeah. I think there is always this stereotype where being the executive assistant, you are a bit, you are called the secretary or like the person who goes and prints documents or just hand documents or go and make coffee for stakeholders, empowering teams and my directors, obviously, for example. So I'm happy to, for example, to support as much as I can or go extra mile. But for example, I remember this one time in one of my companies changed a process for traveling, and people would go and come and seek advice or wants me to do it on their behalf when they can do it, because we shifted from me doing it to them, but because I was taking on too many responsibilities and I saw like a gap and a way to improve processes, it just turned out to be a bit easier for them just to do few steps to make my life easier and their life as well easier. But people kept on coming back to me. So I just kind of wrote a process and just saying no. I think one thing I've learned about being an executive assistant is really set boundaries. It obviously is not easy. It takes a lot of confidence. It takes obviously experience, I would say, because for me, in my case, in the beginning, I was saying yes to any project, to everything, because I am a people pleaser. I used to be a people pleaser. But now it's just more like really set boundaries and try to empower people. So really, for example, to go back to this example, I had put a process in place. Then I wrote everything and I just organized meetings just to show people how to do it. And everyone coming to see me again and again, I was just saying, no, go back to the process. You've got everything in writing. Just go. I'm happy to help you for the first time if there is something you don't understand, but then you have to do it by yourself. I think, yeah, boundaries and learning how to say no are very key in our role.
Yeah, and I think you give such a good example, because there is no more that you could have done to have given your team the instructions that you were not going to do it for them anymore. Mm-hmm. So it gets to a point when there is no more that you can do. Yes. You've simply say, no, there's a process, go and do it yourself. So there will be so many assistants listening to that who have gone through that exact same thing and just need that little bit of extra advice to set that boundary and do say no. Because you put so much work into it. Yeah.
Yeah.
So if there's one thing that you could have known about the assistant role before you started your career, what would that be?
I mentioned that actually, but like coffee, making coffee, this is something like for me is my nightmare. I would say it's something I didn't really enjoy doing it. So I would say this is really the first thing, but it's again, what we just mentioned, the stereotype about being an executive assistant. But I really enjoyed being the go-to person. But then people come and see you for everything and nothing. So, yeah. So it's really one thing for me. If I had known, I would have been, okay, let me think twice about that. And people just coming for really sometimes ridiculous requests where they could do it by themselves. So for me, this is really, the challenging aspect of this role.
It's interesting. I used to work for an executive who was a woman. And on one of the first days, really, that I worked for her, she called me into the office and she said, I'm never going to ask you to make me a coffee. I will always go and do that myself. So nobody else should be asking you to make them coffee. And it was so empowering, because it didn't just mean coffee. It meant tasks that other people should be doing themselves. Mm-hmm. And I found that really empowering. But you're so right. You have to know where you're at in that level of things, whether or not you're happy to make people coffee or you're not, or if you put something else on the coffee making. It's a really interesting conversation, something I think assistants all are going to come up against, and you have to decide how you want to approach it. So I think that's a really interesting one. You should all know that before you start the assistant career and knowing yourself how you're going to handle it.
Yes, I'm happy to support or make coffee if needed for meetings or anything. But I had one of my directors, he was drinking maybe pretty much 20 coffee a day. So I was spending my time at the coffee machine. So when I was bringing him a coffee, I would bring a coffee to me and to myself as well.
And then before you know it, you're just fueled on caffeine for the whole time.
Yeah.
That's, yeah, it's such a good point. For assistants, I think, that have been doing it a while, there's, as you said, lots of opportunities to be involved in projects and organise events and other things. So I wonder if you could, again, give some advice to people listening about how to think about your role creatively, and if there are maybe any examples you can give of where you've done things that maybe were a little bit outside the box, or you stepped out and did something that maybe was unexpected of you.
Obviously, as an executive assistant, sometimes you need to go out of your comfort zone and think outside the box. I'm someone, as I was mentioning in the beginning, I'm into tech, which is something I was not actually, like, if I may say that, like maybe 15 years ago. But for example, I would introduce tech software or app applications to some companies I worked for. So for example, if there is something that we can use that tech makes our life easier, then I would just introduce it. Have a look, obviously, with my director if it's something he would be interested. Obviously, presenting the highlights and the advantages and how it will make our life easier. For example, for project management, I would, for example, introduce some tech software to make our life easier and to kind of really run a project effectively and have everyone collaborate into the same project at the same time, rather than using, for example, an Excel document that would be a bit obsolete and people won't be able to collaborate at the same time. So for me, it's really thinking about what can I do differently. And for me, this is one of the examples where I did something differently that was expected from me.
Leads really nicely into my next question, which is, can you give some advice to our assistants and some of the technology that you use that does make your role easier?
So I'm a big fan of Trello. So it's really...
Me too.
And you can use it the way you want it. So it's like really for to-do lists, really monitoring your task, or even like having a project with different stakeholders and invite them onto your board, well, the board of your project. So I would say this is one of the piece of software I really love. For project management, but really project management based, I would be using Asana. So it's a bit the same principle as Trello, but really for any projects, I love going about Asana, and you can do automations, and it's really helpful as a tool.
Yeah, there's so many great tools available out there. I think for most assistants, it's a case of try things and see what you like to use. And then I love that I don't speak to many people that use both Trello and Asana. I love that you use both. I think that's brilliant, because you've split them out for probably what they're better at doing. Trello for to-do lists, Asana for project management. I love that. That's the first time I've heard of that. People are often like, hello, or Asana. They don't use both.
That's true.
It's true.
Actually,
it's true.
Yeah, it is true. It's either you are team Trello team or Asana team. I like both, but they are for different purposes for me, and I differentiate them. And really, for me, the go-to for project management is Asana, and Trello would be for the other things like tasks or collaboration with or anything else.
I love that. And again, in terms of recommendations, I wonder if there are any events or books or publications or websites or things that, again, have helped you develop.
Mm-hmm. So I used to attend the PA show every year. I missed it last year. I hope I will be able to go this year. I think usually it's in February or March, if I remember well. Very nice. You've got different events, different keynote speakers. And I remember the first time I went there is the executive in, exec, less than days, but you have one day, or if I remember well, or a part of the show for virtual assistant. And this is where I came across the virtual assistant world the first time, like years ago. So I would say this event is really very good, very interesting. You've got so many different things as well. It could be on Excel, Outlook, but you have as well other assistants coming and talking about their role and what they and giving their opinions. Really loving it. It was really nice. I subscribed as well to Executive Support Magazine. I really like it. Very nice magazine. It gives you so many advice and insights into the PA world, EA world. Very interesting read. And I would say the Prince too. Because personally, I've always been interested in project management. I love project management, but I think having a qualification, if you're interested and can advance your career or make your life easier if you run any project, I think Prince 2 is the certification to get. Obviously, as an EA, if you're in the corporate world, might be a bit difficult to get it funded. But if you're interested, just go for it.
I couldn't agree more. I think it's a really useful qualification to have alongside any assistant role, particularly if you're working in the C-suite, just understanding how projects are run. But there's loads of resources around Prince 2 as well without having to necessarily sit the exams or do the qualifications. So it's well worth looking at. Jamie, we've covered everything and had a whistle-stop tour of your career, but congratulations on everything you've achieved. And 2 years into being a VA and running a VA business is no easy feat. So congratulations on that as well. What have you got to look forward to this year with the VA business? What goals are you looking to achieve?
I think I have many, but obviously learning more skills, training my mindset as well, I would say, working with different clients, more clients, but as well really getting clearer on my services.
Thank you so much for your time. It's been a pleasure talking with you.
Thank you for having me today. Thank you, Nikki.
Thank you so much for listening to the EA Campus podcast. We would love for you to take a minute to subscribe to the EA Campus podcast on iTunes, Spotify, or wherever you find your podcasts. If you could give us a review, we would so appreciate that too. If you want to check out the show notes, you can do that by going over to the eacampus.com/podcast and take a look at everything we discussed. You can also find all the links to the resources, articles, and tech that we mentioned during the show. If you want to join the conversation inside the EA Campus community, you will also find all of the information on the EA Campus website. The community continues to grow and we have an amazing group of assistants sharing their careers. We have ongoing events and training for our members and we would love to see ambitious and career-driven assistants join us. Thanks for your time and I hope you tune in again to the next episode of the EA Campus podcast.